Open in prayer, ladies, and we'll get started. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can be in your house, Lord. We thank you for your word and what it means to us and how we can apply it to our every aspect of our lives, Lord. You have something to say in there or a message for us, Lord, that we can put into practice in our lives. We thank you for our visitors, Lord. We pray that you be with Gloria's daughter, Pam, and help her to have a speedy delivery on when you have appointed it, Lord, and not before. Help this baby to come out easily, and that it's a safe delivery for all of those concerned. And Lord, we just thank you for your watch care over us and your love to us, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Leah's here. Hurried potty time, yes. But, okay, so we've been talking about several people. Long suffering has to do with patience. And when we pray for patience, that is something that you want to pray for patience, but then you don't want to pray for patience because usually you get some kind of trial or tribulation when you're praying for patience. So it's all, you know, it's kind of a, you want it, and Lord, help my patience, but then you know what's going to happen, and he's going to test your patience. But we've learned through this study that Job and Joseph had many tribulations and trials in their lives, but they knew that God was faithful. They knew that they didn't have to question what God was doing, and God wasn't obligated to give them an answer for the testing because God knows the outcome. We don't know the outcome. We're in the here and now. That's where we live. We don't live in the future. Some of us live in the past, but we tend to just live right now, and we want answers right now. And so when something's going on in our lives that we're not sure about, and, you know, are uncomfortable about, or it's, you know, stressful time, we want some kind of an answer of why this is happening. But God says that your faith needs to be strong enough that you believe that he knows the outcome, and he's going to get you through that. So in not having an answer, some of us lose our long suffering and our patience because we don't have some kind of an answer. And exactly in our time when we want it. And Joseph had a dream that, you know, his family was going to bow down to him and all of this, and they just thought he was trying to be, you know, all that, and, you know, look at me. And his brothers were very upset with that and very angry about the fact that he kind of lorded that over them, you know, that, you know, I have dreams and I'm special, you know, kind of thing. So his brothers got rid of, they just like, I can't deal with you anymore. So they got rid of him. But in their doing one thing, God had a reason for it to be done. They could have outright killed Joseph, and it would have been over with, and things would have turned out totally different. But God had other plans. So he had the eldest speak up and say, let's not kill him. Let's look, here's an answer. Let's have him taken away and we'll never see him again. But God had that all planned. That caravan came by just at the right moment. He put it in Reuben's heart to say something and not to have Joseph killed. So God was working all the details out in Joseph's life. And he can do the same thing for us. And we all have something in our lives, even right now, that we're dealing with that we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But we have to have faith that the Lord does. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians
here. We're not always right here.
Verses 2 and 3. Because we not only have to have long suffering for the things that are going on in our life and how we deal with them, but we have to have long suffering for other people that are in our life. And we may not always know what's going on in their life, but and they may be short-tempered and they may be, you know, not quite themselves. And you don't, like, want to probe and, you know, say, what's bothering you? You know, but you could go to them and say, I'm praying for you. I see that, you know, you just seem to be a little down, or you don't seem as happy as you usually are, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So that is showing long suffering, because if they came at you or if they said something to you and hurt your feelings, you don't know the circumstances. You know, they might be having just a bad day, but they might be going through something. So in our relationships with not only our family but with those around us, our coworkers, you know, we don't know what's going on with them. And so long suffering kind of goes both ways. We have to have it in our walk with the Lord, but we also have to have it with other people. And that's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here we have three attributes of the fruit of the Spirit in one verse, or two verses. We've got love, peace, and long-suffering are in this these verses right here. So using the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, they're put in there for their order is for a reason. We have love, joy, peace. That enables us to have long-suffering. But we have to keep them, we don't have to keep them in the right order, but that's why they're put there for that reason, and that's why we've been learning them for that reason. So it says that love and forgiveness cover a lot. They help us to have good relationships with not only our family, but with those that we come in contact with. But there's also the people that tend to mess up over and over again that are in our lives. But when we tend to get short with them, we have to remember, don't we have that same relationship with the Lord? He could very well say, you're here again about this problem. Have you not got it figured out yet? You know, and we all have something in our lives that we struggle with, that we keep going to the Lord and saying, help me. Here I am again. And it's all long suffering. He's long suffering, just like our memory verse. He is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So when we aren't long-suffering with those that we think are messing up and they're doing it again, and we're short with them and we have no patience with them, the Lord could say, I could do that same thing with you. So we have to keep that in mind, that love covers a multitude of sins. He covers a multitude of sins for us. And so we just need to make sure that we're practicing what we're learning. And instead of letting their actions necessarily irritate us, let's try to figure out how we can be a solution to their problem as opposed to another problem. You know, it's like peacemakers. We learned that when we were going over peace. Try to find a way to be a peacemaker. Try to see if you can fix a situation. It really helps, and especially in your home and with those that you love the most. That's where we're the most short-tempered. We tend to have as much long-suffering for those that we love, say we love the most.
Because we're around them all.
Exactly, because we see their, you know, all their bumps and warts and ugliness, and, you know, we see them without their, you know, everything perfect. When we, you know, come to church, we all tend to, you know, smile, and, you know, everybody's good and happy, and you go home and everything's not so good and happy. But we need to just be patient with them. So instead of letting their actions irritate us, on question 20 on the top of 65, it says to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, so it says, instead of letting another's actions irritate us, how should we view the situation? So, 3:13 says, if I get to 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If we're not willing to give forgiveness, God's not obligated to forgive us.
I find that hard.
Oh yeah, you have to forgive. Especially if someone comes to you and says, I did such and such, will you please forgive me?
I was just thinking, if somebody asks you for forgiveness, sometimes
they don't even know that they did anything.
Right. Yeah. I did that with someone in our apartment complex. Mm-hmm. I had to both apologize.
Very good. Yeah. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to forgive, because how, especially with the lost, if you can't go to someone that is lost and tell them, I'm so sorry, I snapped at you, or I did such and such, would you please forgive me? That they don't understand forgiveness. But if you don't show it to them, how are they going to ever be able to accept it for themselves? You're showing them Christ and what, you know, what he offers by granting forgiveness. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, I had started a children's club, a Christian children's club, and most of the kids, I had 25 of them, most of the kids didn't even know who Jesus was.
Right.
And their parents were, you know, unforgiving people, a lot of them, and kind of, I don't know how to say, but not very kind.
Right.
But after just a month of them seeing their kids, having fun and
changing,
Jesus, I just start seeing the parents changing.
And it's true. There's a saying, you can see it on, you know, pictures and things like that. Sometimes you are the only Bible that people are ever going to see. You're the only reflection of Jesus that people are going to see. And are you reflecting the Lord in your daily goings on? Is Christ evident in your life? And forgiveness is a big thing. And sometimes people can do something and you take offense at it. They don't even know that they've done anything to you. That especially you need to forgive them for, because if you're going to hold on to it and let it fester and let it brew, bitterness comes in and all these other things. And then you've got this whole thing built up, this whole mountain, and they all have a clue. They don't even understand why you're short with them, or you don't talk to them as much, or whatever, and they don't have a clue what they did. But it's on you. It's not on them. Because you're the one that's chosen. You've made a choice. You've chosen to let this fester and eat at you. And instead of going to them and say, you know, you may not have meant it, but I kind of took it the wrong way. You know, when you snapped at me, or, you know, it looked like you were ignoring me, or whatever the reason is that we tend to build up in our brain. You know, and women, we are very notorious for this, ladies. She didn't say anything about my new dress. She's supposed to be my friend. You know, it's like, but it can be as simple as that. You know, we tend to take little things and blow them up. And we do it at home. We do it with our families. We do it, you know, with other people. And so the Lord is emphasizing that we need to forgive. And sometimes the forgiveness is a healing for us. You know, it's a healing for us. It could be something in your past that you've never dealt with, that you've never come to grips with. It's like, Lord, I forgive them. I have to forgive them because I'm not being able to move on. I can't get past this. And you may not necessarily have to go to them and tell them that you forgive them, but if you forgive them in your heart and let the Lord know, then healing can happen. Healing can come. Yes.
I don't mean to take over, but...
Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay. The one thing I noticed, a big thing that I had to get past forgiveness, was that the abuse I went through as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've forgave all of it. But yet, a few months later, something else will come up. And I feel sometimes forgiveness takes time.
It does.
You know, you don't just automatically forget, but
oh, yeah.
Little baby steps.
We're not like the Lord.
Right.
He forgives, and it's as far away as the east is from the west. We can't forget things.
Mm-hmm.
We may have forgiven people for something that they've done to us, but the memory's still there. That's where we have to rely on the Lord, and we have to say, Lord, help me take it away to the point where it's not in the forefront of my mind all the time. Or if I remember, it's not so painful. And the Lord can do that. He can help with your remembering things, and it cannot, you know, it won't be just like every little thing reminds you of something that's painful. But on the other hand, we tend to get antsy, and we want an answer.
Oh.
And then we decide that, oh, I have to help you, God.
Oh.
I have to help you out here. We all do that. Yes. I have to help you so that we can get this figured out. Okay?
We get in his way.
We make a mess of it. Like Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis and see an example in chapter 16 of someone that got ahead of what the Lord had made a promise to them. Okay? In chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we see Sarah and Abraham. Okay? So God had made a covenant with Abraham that he was going to have children. And they were going to multiply, and as the sands of the sea, you know, God told Abraham that this was going to happen. Well, it's not happening as fast as what Sarah thinks needs to be happening. So she decides to take the matter into her own hands. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So, here we see that they got tired of waiting for God to make this happen, this covenant that he said that he was going to do. They were going to have children. And it's going on, and it's going on, and it still hasn't happened, and here we are. And so she's like, okay, it must mean that
I need to help.
Exactly. So I wrote on the side over here, I wrote a little, like, note from the Lord, in a sense. I said, Dear Katie, I don't need your help today. Love, God. I wrote that in my book because we tend to do that. It's like all of a sudden you see what you think is a solution to this. So it's like, oh yes, here we go. And off we go. And then the Lord just gently has to, you know, no, that's not what we're going to do. And he moves us right back on the path again. And it's like, but it seems so obvious that that was the answer to the problem. But
sometimes you think that God gave you that answer.
Yes.
You just up and do it because I wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah.
There it was.
Yeah. Oh, that must have come from God.
It come from God.
Oh, no.
But it didn't.
It didn't.
Come
no.
From
Yeah, and it's like, no, that didn't come from God. That came from someone else that wanted you to redirect you and get you off the path that God says, have faith, be patient. It's going to work out. But you're like, but, I don't want to.
And then they say, you know, to make sure it's from me.
Exactly. You know, test the spirits, ask, pray, and the waiting. That's what we have a problem. Because God answers all the time. He says yes, he says no, and he says wait. That's the one we don't like. We don't particularly like no either, but we really don't like the wait one. Because we don't know how long we are going to have to wait. Just like Sarah and Abraham, they had to wait. It wasn't in God's time. So they took the matters into their own hands, and they caused a big mess. Because not only did they have a child, or Hagar had a child, then Sarah was jealous, and then she sent them away, but it was still Abram's child, and you know he still cared about him, and you know he loved this child, and there's still conflict in the world today because of this issue. Because who Ishmael became and who Isaac became, there's still a conflict. It's to this day. So that could have been avoided if she would have waited. But we don't know that.
Just come to think about it, she was the first Sergei mother.
Yes, Sergei. Yeah.
Sergei.
But usually,
what's a surrogate mean?
A replacement. Like some women can't have babies, so they have their sperm and their eggs put into someone else, and they carry their baby, but it's their baby, not her baby.
Oh, still
a problem
today.
Oh yeah. So then, question 22 is kind of a personal thing. It's not something that you have to share. It says, who is the most difficult person in your life? The person with whom you need to be the most patient. Write the person's initials here. And what are you expecting from this person? That's something you're going to have to make a determination about. It could be multiple people. It could be somebody in your past. It could be anybody.
That's what we're having problems with for today, too.
What?
With people intervene with other people. Marriages intervene with other marriages.
True, yes, we still have that problem. But
I don't know if I got that right or not.
It's true, it's true. So when we have difficult people in our lives, we can choose to A, love them.
Oh, okay.
In spite of their being difficult, we can choose to be difficult right back at them, which doesn't solve anything. That just makes conflict. And I think, and the majority, most of us want to avoid conflict. I don't like conflict. I don't like having to deal with it, because I just don't. It has to do with my personality, and I've always been that way. I try to avoid difficult situations so I don't have to. But there are times when you can't, and it just has to be addressed, and you have to. You can only just sweep things under the rug and almost ignore them for just so long, and sometimes you just have to. But the way to deal with all of this, and the way to get peace in your heart about the whole thing, is we're supposed to be more like Christ all the time. And wasn't he misunderstood? He was abused. He was all these things that we could keep saying over and over again, but he always chose to love everyone. His love shone even when he was that one time when he was angry. Thank you, Rodney. And he was upset, and he, he pushed everybody out of the temple. But he still didn't sin, even though he was commanding and he confronted them, and they were doing wrong by making God's house. They were selling in there and had all the animals in the temple and all these things. The whole thing about it was wrong. But he says, don't repay vengeance. He keeps telling us, don't get back at people. That's his job. Leave it with him. But love and be patient, and it's not always easy. And so Psalm 62:5 is a special psalm that we need to read that kind of encompasses all of this. Psalm 62:5. 62. Oh, almost there, Kathy. Oh, 51. I go to 62. 60. One more page. There you go. Right down there. 62:5. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. God needs to be our everything. Not any other person can fulfill everything that you want or need except for God, because he's the one that made you. He knows everything that you have need of. And our relationship with the Lord is to be the most important thing. And sometimes interruptions, you could call them interruptions, sometimes, like this part down here where the author is talking about, she wanted patience, but she knew that, this process was going to be a long time in coming. And she says, I don't like the process by which it was usually developed in my life. It's usually a slow, and I want it now. And she's like, I can relate to the bumper sticker that says, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Okay, but being patient and learning to wait is hard in our hurry-up, rush society. Everybody wants an answer. We have phones that give us an answer like this. Everything about our life is And if you don't like something, then throw it away and get something else. Well, God doesn't work that way. God's not like that. And things in her life were telling her to slow down, take things easy. And she had to let go of things in her life that she liked. But there's two verses, Exodus 14, 13. Let's see if we can get these done before everybody comes in here. 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So he said, stand still and see. Then Psalm 46:10 tells us to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So stand still and see, be still and know. So, like she said, I now see that God doesn't have to give me answers. He just wants me to know that while I'm waiting, I can trust him. He's going to work out all the details. And it's going to be what he wants for my life and not what I want for my life. Because what I want for my life may be detrimental to me, to those around me, to my walk with the Lord. What I think I want may not be what God has for me, the path that he's put me on. So that's something that we need to just think about. Okay, we're going to think we will have class next week, but the missions conference Sunday, I'm thinking we will not have Sunday school. So I think we'll have 2 weeks more. But I'm not sure. Might only be one. But anyway, gentleness. And I have a really awesome, the verse, Ephesians 4:32 is like, one of my favorite verses, because when I first started teaching Sunday school, I was working with the 2 to 4 year olds, and we taught them this verse as a song. And when we were still at that church, I had some of these kids come back when they were like 7 and sing this song to me. I still sing this song. So I'm going to teach you this song next week for the verse, and you're all going to get it. I love you, ladies. Thank you.
So we have a